Julie, you had them?
Welcome to the Board of Public Works. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues for any opening remarks. Madam Treasurer?
Yeah, could I just take a moment, Governor, because we're about to go into a very exciting, positive, lovely event. But right before we do, the state last week lost one of our favorite sons, Joseph Tidings, at the young age of 90, having lived a very full and productive life, left us. There are some of us, not too many, still around, who worked in the campaign in 1964 for Joe, for United States Senator, and we're extremely proud of him. Ironically, he lost re-election in large part because of his concern about guns and gun control, shootings in schools, in fact, and the shooting, of course, of his dear friend, the Attorney General and presidential candidate, Robert Kennedy. I knew Joe from the time I interviewed him when I was in college, and he was, I have to say, one of the brightest and certainly one of the most charming and debonair of United States senators. But he also was a great leader of the University of Maryland on the Board of Regents for 15 or so years and really helped build that campus into what it is now, which is a world-renowned institution. But at the same time, or a little afterwards, he also, for almost 20 years, was the chairman of Citizens for COP.
I knew all the other stuff until now.
And I have to say there were days when he kept things going. So I just want to recognize a national leader, a great leader of the state, and someone who, to me, of course, was both a mentor and a prod when I didn't want to get out door-to-door and campaign and really didn't want to ask one more person for one more dollar. Joe was there pushing, and we will miss him.
Thank you for mentioning that. He was a great Maryland leader who did so much for the state and his service not only in the Senate, but on the Board of Regents and the House of Delegates. We're lowered the flags in honor of him, and he's going to get the full state honors as he deserves. Great, great Marylander. Thank you. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you, Governor, and I couldn't agree more with you and the Treasurer on Senator Tidings and his family. I think we all have them in our thoughts. And I do recall that he won his Senate seat, I think, against my great predecessor, Louis Goldstein. So I have him to thank for allowing Louis to be comptroller for the next, whatever it was, 35 years after that.
I didn't know that.
And also,
record, which you're hoping, right?
Yes. But also, I read in the obituary that in that race for Senate, which was he won very unexpectedly, his slogan was "Tidings, working for Maryland, not for the political machine." So, such is life. These issues come around, and I didn't realize that, but I'd forgotten that he was your chairman, Madam.
Yeah.
Treasurer. Yeah, that was a he was definitely a major presence in the political world. And speaking of public service, that's not a calling that everybody is comfortable answering, but I'm fortunate to have a remarkable team of dedicated public servants in my agency who are firmly committed to providing respectful, responsive, and results-oriented taxpayer service. Today, I would like to share with you a stellar example involving my deputy comptroller, Sharon Bernardi, who is sitting right here in the front row. Recently, Sharon was contacted by a taxpayer. This is the deputy comptroller. She has lots of things to do because I'm generally out moving through the nooks and crannies of the state. She's running 1,100 employees who are processing 3.2 million tax returns. Anyway, she was contacted by a taxpayer who she helped more than a decade before when he struggled under the weight of his financial burdens due to a series of medical crises he and his wife suffered at the time. Because of the help provided by Sharon, he avoided foreclosure of his home, eventually paid off his mortgage, while settling up at the same time with the state of Maryland. He never forgot the help provided by Sharon and reached out to her yet again this summer when another medical catastrophe struck and delayed his payments to the state. Sharon was able to intercede on his behalf, and he's back on track making payments. It doesn't matter if you're the Deputy Comptroller of Maryland or a call center representative. My 1,100 employees understand that first-class customer service is a top priority for my agency. So I want to take this opportunity to thank Sharon. Obviously, she makes the trains run on time. And as the governor said in the back room, he said, yeah, now I know why you're doing okay, Peter. You've got somebody who knows what they're doing back there. but I want to take this opportunity to thank Sharon not only for helping this particular taxpayer, but for the incredible job that she does for our agency. Sharon, you are indispensable, and our agency would not be the most effective and efficient comptroller's office in the nation without you, and without your leadership, and without your hard work. So I'd like to present this certificate of appreciation to Sharon Bernardi. Thanks for doing a great job. Your exceptional personal commitment to serving taxpayers has been recognized. The extra effort you made to assist, I'll leave his name off because I don't want to jeopardize his confidentiality, helps inspire all employees to do our most important job, helping people. Pleasure and appreciation, I salute you. Sharon, could you come up? And would you like to say a word? Sharon?
I'm just truly humbled by this recognition. As the comptroller said, this is just what we do. This is what we do each and every day. I started as a hearing officer over 17 years ago, and I had the opportunity to help taxpayers. And as I moved up in leadership, under the comptroller's leadership, we know that we are to deliver that quality service. And I know the governor has his customer service initiatives as well. And it's an expectation. It's what we do as public servants, and I'm just proud to be able to serve as Deputy Comptroller and to serve the taxpayers of Maryland. So
wow.
Governor, Peter, Mr. Comptroller, on top of everything else you said, obviously, Sharon, for the last number of years, has been an inspiration to women in public service in Maryland. I know you've worked as a leader in the community in bringing young women into the job market and supporting them, but also women in the Maryland workforce. And it is becoming more common, but it is not common, and it used to be very rare to see a woman rise up in the ranks of the profession and then become essentially the head of an office. And I commend you, Comptroller, but also hats off to you, Sharon. And just know there are many, many people who are very appreciative.
Sharon, thank you for your great work on behalf of the taxpayers and your wonderful customer service, and thank you for working so hard to make the comptroller look good. I knew that someone was back there making that happen. I'm proud to finally get a chance to find out and meet you and work with you. Thank you. We're going to get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 11 items on the Secretary's agenda. We have two reports of emergency procurement.
Any questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Those two emergency procurements, those are the ones in the appendices?
Yes, they are. And Mr. Secretary, Deputy Secretary Reichert could perhaps answer the questions there about Department of General Services repairs.
Treasurer has a question, particular question? Or?
Well, this harkens back to what we were talking about 2 weeks ago and for a number of times before this, the question of the deferred maintenance, which leads to increased costs, increased adverse impact on the economy, adverse impact on the poor folks who have to work under these conditions, chillers that we knew weren't going to work any longer, that were past their lifespan, and yet you have to wait until they break down, declare an emergency, and then go in and do something. How? And my understanding, Mr. Deputy Secretary, is it Deputy? Nelson. no, is that you all are getting a system in place in which we're going to try to automate portions of the system, including after people put work orders in, so you can follow the work orders. But these things, these situations don't even have work orders yet.
Right.
What are we,
It's a very difficult thing, especially when we handle as many buildings as we do on an emergency basis. This was a...
Well, you can't do it. I am not suggesting the Department of General Services can do this.
We're putting together a work group now to be able to get the leadership together and start to promote this concept of preventative maintenance in each agency.
Say my piece again. Unless there's some funds set aside, unless we budget for it, whether it's 2% or whatever, unless we budget for the preventive maintenance, the deferred maintenance, these folks running the agencies and running the offices will not have the funds to do it because they have to take them, obviously, from other things that obviously they had found higher priorities or they would have solved these problems.
Right.
So I really think you got to put your heads together and figure out a way because it's costing money and, Mr. Secretary, the environment. These leaking, I'm not in your department, I'm just, it's a very adverse impact on the environment as well as everything else. So we all have an interest in trying to solve this problem.
No question. There's been decades and decades of failure to do preventive maintenance, and we're doing everything we can to improve that and catch up from decades of failure. So thank you.
Absolutely. And we will see later on at the university system. It's across the state.
And this season has been particularly bad. Because of the amount of wet weather we've had, it's overtaxed a lot of the systems.
We find that leaky roofs
were
turning into mold. It's not rocket science.
Sealant around windows that's gone bad over the years. You don't know it's bad until we get a driving rain that forces the moisture in.
Right. Well, I appreciate the automated system you're putting in place. It really doesn't address this part of it.
All
right. Are there any questions? Is there a motion?
Isn't that right?
Yes. Move approval. Yes, second. Okay. Second. 3-0. Let's get started with DNR, Real Property Agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, my name is Mark Belden. I'm the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we also have 11 items for your approval this morning.
Any questions on DNR?
Item 5.
And sir. These are the Baltimore City issues?
Yeah, it's a request from DNR and Baltimore City to commit $3.9 million, it's almost $4 million in program open space, state and local share funds, to 5 projects. And I was reading about these wonderful recreational projects in Baltimore City, Governor. I just wanted to compliment your administration, particularly Secretary Belton, and all the folks at DNR for the commitment to Baltimore City that these 5 projects represent. We're talking about $1.2 million for the reconstruction of the pool and bathhouse at Druid Hill Park, northeast Baltimore. Truly beautiful and scenic green space that generations of Baltimoreans have enjoyed. Another $1.4 million to construct a pool at the Walter P. Carter Center in East Baltimore
$500,000 to improve trail networks throughout Baltimore City. These are all worthy projects. They improve the quality of life for Baltimoreans, young and old. I just wanted to take a moment and recognize these state investments and tip my hat to DNR and, frankly, the administration for allocating these funds.
Yes, sir. They're going to make a big difference for the citizens of Baltimore, that's for sure.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. We, Secretary Belton and I talked about this at the very beginning of the administration about, you know, we've put $5.5 billion into Baltimore City in 4 years. That never happened before, ever in history. But we're finding from different places, you know, the $100 million in Project 4 to tear down, we've torn down 2,000 blighted properties. We're replacing some of them with parks and playgrounds. And I said to him, aren't there funds and grants in various departments that we could utilize, and why don't we look at recreation in the city? And they've done a great job of addressing this, so thank you. Thank you for recognizing it. Any other questions on DNR?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 on DNR. We're going to go on to Department of Business and Management.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, David Brinkley, the Secretary of the Department of Budget and Management.
Does the Constitution require you to be here today? It doesn't require me to be here.
I'm here because I want to be here. We've brought three items for your consideration today.
Any questions on DBM?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 on DBM. We're going for a record here today. University System Agenda. We're on a roll.
Don't mess it up. Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have five items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Evans? University System. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. We're going to go on to the Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I'm Michael Leahy, Secretary of the Department of Information Technology. Today we have seven items on the agenda, and I have representatives available to answer any questions you might have.
Questions on do it. Motion.
Move approval. Go ahead.
It's very brief, but just an update on Maryland Think.
Yes.
In terms of the schedule, how are we going?
Mr. James?
Right here.
Thanks for bringing that up. Good morning, sir. Mr. James.
Good morning.
Secretary James.
I'm Greg James, Deputy Secretary for Operations from the Maryland Department of Human Services. Pleased to be here today and give you an update on the MD Think project. The contract item we have before you today is an extension of our existing maintenance and operations contract for our legacy systems. We are requesting an 18-month extension to the end of that, and that will take us 6 months past when we anticipate being fully completed with the new MD Think project. That project is on schedule and on budget, and we received our federal funding in January 2017. We spent a couple of months working out our roadmap and plans for that, and then began our build. At this point, we've now constructed the basic platform, which will allow us to host multiple state programs in a cloud environment, hosted at this point on Amazon Web Services. And in August of this year, we launched our first application of that, which is the long-term care module. That went without any problems or errors. The biggest feedback we've heard from our workers is, this is great, when do we get it for the rest of our space? And the answer for that is by the end of 2020. We will have rolled out replacement systems for our eligibility enrollment programs, our family benefits, so that's all of our TANF and SNAP programs, as well as the Medicaid work that we do with the Department of Health. We will have migrated the Health Benefits Exchange over onto the platform. We will have a new child welfare system, which we anticipate deploying in 2019. And we will have a new child support application as well. That will allow us then to turn off our legacy systems and reduce the spending that we've had on trying to maintain 1980s and 1990s era technology in the 21st century.
I want to thank you for your leadership. This really is an incredible program. It's $200 and some million in federal funds, $240 million, something along those lines. We were the first state to come up with a program like this. I can tell you, I'm a vice chairman of the National Governors Association. Other governors are taking a look at this as best practices. I was just with Governor Baker from Massachusetts, who's they're doing a lot of great things, but he was just amazed at this program and was trying to talk to me about how it's going to work and how they might be able to copy some of it. I want to thank you for your department's doing such a great job. We actually found, correct me if I'm wrong, green phosphorus screens in this department when we got here that were operating on DOS, which is like dinosaurs for those of you. And now we're going to have the most advanced system in America.
That actually was the great leap forward at one
time. Absolutely. And
but this was 2015.
So, Governor, thank you for your leadership and your vision on this and your support and the support that we've received from the board, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, your support in this project. And I would be remiss if I did not mention the tremendous support we've received from DOIT and all of our state partners, the Department of Health. This is truly a multi-departmental effort, and we've got the Department of Juvenile Services. We'll also have a new system launching in 2019. It's being developed in parallel with the child welfare system, and we look forward to being able to give you a demonstration of this technology and what we've achieved, and we look forward to bringing other state agencies on board so that they can share the benefits and advantages of this.
And this is really a great example of providing much better services to the people who need them in a more efficient and more cost-effective way.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much.
It's very exciting. Greg, as you know, the first public hearing I ever attended after I was elected to the legislature was in 1975, the very first briefing on something called AIMS, which was the Automated Income Maintenance System, mm-hmm. which never did work. It morphed into AIMS 2, which I don't think worked until it was called something else. And the dream was to have, although we didn't know it, MD thanks. And if this rolls out the way you're saying, and it really works the way you're saying, it's going to be an amazing step forward for the state, built on a few decades of hard work.
We have gotten rid of those old Pong machines with the green.
We have one in the basement still.
We should put it in a museum.
You can't let it go.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a motion on IT?
Move approval.
Second, 3-0. We're going to move on to the Department of Transportation.
All right. Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Governor. For the record, my name is Jim Schwartz, Deputy Secretary, Maryland Department of Transportation. Department of Transportation is presenting 12 items today. Item 7M mod is being withdrawn at this time, and we'd be happy to answer any questions. But first, I'd like to let the Comptroller know that Sharon also helped me when someone decided to file my taxes for me without my knowledge compromised my identity. I called your office, and Sharon answered the phone. They flagged my taxes immediately and then worked me through the process. And, of course, I had to send them direct mail. But yeah, it worked out very well, and I just wanted to, while everybody was, you know, talking how great she is, give you another real-life example.
I often wonder how people get Sharon on the phone. But that is, thank you for saying that, Deputy Secretary. I really appreciate that, because to the extent you represent the 10, 12,000 Marylanders mm-hmm. who are in exactly your situation, a lot of them have real questions about how to extricate themselves from that.
It was easy.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. And Sharon, your phone will be ringing.
Live
sorry.
The state, and we have a packed room here. They're all going to be calling you, Sharon, with issues.
Governor, I had a brief question on item 3, which is the Purple Line acquisition contract. It's not very much money compared to the cost of this project. I'm very supportive of it, but I've been advocating for the Purple Line since my days as chair of the Transportation Subcommittee in House Appropriations. And this project, the fact that it's moving forward, is just fabulous for our region. And I understand that there was litigation surrounding this project that resulted in delays, and I was wondering, Secretary Ports, if you could just, is there any update you could give us on the timeline of the project?
Sure. So, first of all, delays are are in the works. You know, they filed for delays. But, you know, keep in mind that even during that court case, we had made statements plenty of times that we were still continuing with that process. So that'll be ironed out as we go through the process.
It slows down a little bit, but we made the decision. We couldn't start construction while the case was going on, but we continued to do the engineering and the acquisitions and assuming that we were going to win the case.
Absolutely. And so we did continue that project to the extent we could from when the courts were saying. That being said, we just took a tour. Secretary Ryan, myself, and many others took a tour of the Purple Line as well as the tunnel that they're building. They're making tremendous progress on the tunnel. It was a very muddy day, but it was very interesting to see that. And as far as timeline and schedule, I'll bring Jeff Enzer up. He's our boots on the ground every day. He and Chuck Latuka are the
literally
two people.
Boots on the ground.
But definitely boots on the ground. I had boots that day in the tunnel, let me tell you, because it was a mess. But he's our boots on the ground with Chuck Latuka. They're the everyday experts on this project. So, Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Parks.
Just let them know who you are first.
Yes. Good morning, Governor, Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. Happy to speak with you today. We're making good progress on the Purple Line. As Mr. Port said, we are we're doing a lot of work at the tunnel. We've done a lot of excavation at the site of our future operations and maintenance building where the groundbreaking was. We've completed 25, 30 feet of excavation, getting close to pouring the building pad. We're performing utility relocations.
By the way, I got everything off to a good start by tearing the building down.
That's right, you did.
That's correct, literally.
Very much so. And we're constructing walls. We're in the process of constructing multiple bridges. We are a few months away from completing the first bridge reconstruction. And we're also making really good progress in Bethesda, where we're working on the stations and new entrance to the Bethesda Red Line. And as Jim said, we did have a little bit of delay for the ramp up construction due to litigation, but we're working really hard on the schedule. We're resequencing work, finding ways to do things a little smarter, and we're working to have a we've come up with a plan. We're working to deliver the project still in 2022. So with that, I'd be happy to take any additional questions.
And you're continuing to stay in contact with the community who's
very much so.
That abuts it, whose trees are down and whose trail is gone for the moment.
Yes, yeah. We very much so. We have community meetings on a regular basis. We have one even tonight in the Silver Spring community where we listen, we hear their concerns, and we make adjustments to the extent possible so we can keep the project moving forward but also be a good neighbor to them.
Thank you very much. This is something we're really proud that we finally got moving, and you know, we've invested more in transit than any administration in the history of the state. We came up with a proposal to save the Metro system, and this is Purple Line is going to tie in with Metro, with Amtrak, with MARC, and it's going to be an incredible boost, not just to all those communities in Prince George's and Montgomery County, but for the whole state. So thank you for
Mr. Governor, it's actually the largest P3 transit project in the entire United States.
Yep. Exactly.
Thank you.
Our road group projects are the largest in the known universe.
You're correct. I will never make that mistake again, say the nation.
So is there a motion on transportation?
Move approval.
Second, 3-0 transportation. Last but not least, the Department of General Services, and somebody can check the timer. I think you may be on track for a record unless we have questions on this one.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Nelson Wright, the Deputy Secretary of General Services. The Department has 23 items on our agenda, including one supplemental item. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Looks like Comptroller has a question.
Just a very brief question. So item 1C, we're using an out-of-state purchasing cooperative for on-call construction services. I don't have any problem with this, but Deputy Secretary Riker, could you just give us a sense of why you use that at this stage and how many firms submitted bids, how many of them were Maryland-based?
I'm going to ask Lauren Buckler to come up and address your particular questions about this contract, which is a somewhat unique master contract for contracting.
Good morning, members of the board. For the record, I'm Lauren Buckler, Assistant Secretary for Design, Construction, and Energy at DGS. The item is for job order contracting. It's a form of master contracting for construction purposes. We've used it on this trial basis through this intergovernmental purchasing agreement predominantly for fast-paced projects to try to avoid emergency declarations, things where we can get into the site and cut down on the design time by working directly with the contractor. The chiller project that was up here earlier, we used it in that in order to get the chiller this summer. We still ended up declaring the emergency, but we were able to get the chiller off the shelf into the school to have air conditioning this summer instead of bringing in a temporary cooling mechanism while we went through a design process, waiting to then order the chiller and then get one to the school, and then we wouldn't have had cooling until next summer. So we're using it on a case-by-case basis. We use it in the toolbox along with several other procurement methodologies. We have an on-call IQC for contractors as well, for general contractors, that's regionalized across the state with several vendors in different areas of the state that we also use. And then we do use traditional low bid for many of our contracts.
Great. And that makes perfect sense. And your traditional procurement methods are still in place for non-appropriate items. And
correct.
The question I have is, are companies around the state that want to do subcontracting for these groups, are they accessed by the folks you're selecting, or are they all Washington, D.C. area exclusively?
Local subs are used by these vendors. These vendors do have an MBE goal as well that they have to meet on each project, and that they do use local contractors for sub work.
Okay. And if you could just keep an eye on whether other Maryland subs are allowed to bid on these and have access to these supervising contractors, particularly the four from the Maryland D.C. region that you selected.
Yes.
Were selected.
DGS will make sure that local subcontracting opportunities are available.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions on DGS?
DGS, just quickly, on the $500,000 capital grant to the town of Chestertown to make significant repairs to the Chestertown Marina. This has been a constant refrain when I travel through Chestertown, and I just want to say, Governor, that the marina, obviously, as you know, plays a critical role in the town's history and culture and also in its economy, and I just want to let you know that I couldn't be more personally supportive of this project, but it's you and the legislature who have worked together to deliver not just these funds we're voting on today, but other funds for the marina. Hats off to bipartisanship.
Yeah, thank you. We've been trying to, this has been a complex, incredibly complex for something that seems simple, but we've been working on it for 4 years, and we're glad we finally got the cooperation from the city, the town, and from the legislature. It's been a long time coming, but we're excited to see it finally happening. Thank you.
And just for the record, this is the fastest BPW meeting I've ever been involved in. But I'm trying to do my part and shut up.
And I think you did amazingly well today. We will be back again for Halloween. October 31st, one more here before this. There's some election I heard about. We'll be still here at work on the 31st. Thank you all very much. We got to have a motion for DGS.
Move approval.
Second. Third. Thank you all.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning, gentlemen.